How you doing, everyone? Thank you for tuning into this episode of Ready to Record from Blue Girl Studios, proudly sponsored by VFX Unleashed, powered by Amarillo College and SemCore Productions. My name is Daniel the D3 Cohen. I'm your host, and I'm speaking to you from Blue Girl Productions' worldwide headquarters and studios here in my garage. I'm a 20-year-old aspiring musician, engineer, and producer, and like many of you guys, I make music out of my own home studio. You know, some of today's biggest hitmakers work from home studios, so maybe we can help one of you accomplish your big dreams. Now, before we get into the episode, I want to talk about our sponsor, VFX Unleashed, powered by Amarillo College and SemCore Productions. VFX Unleashed is a complete accredited online VFX school where you can learn how to have a career in the visual effects industry in classes taught by industry professionals. There are programs in all major aspects of VFX production and software, including Photoshop, After Effects, Maya, Nuke, Cinema 4D, and many more. Online, fully remote classes start every 8 weeks, and a full VFX studio within Amarillo College's Innovation Outpost will open next year, which will have a state-of-the-art soundstage and motion capture studio. You can check out all that VFX Unleashed has to offer and enroll today at VFXUnleashed.com. Thank you to VFX Unleashed and SemCore for being our very first sponsor. We are proud to have you. Now, let's get into the show. Today on the show, we have something very special, the long-awaited NAMM episode. Let's jump in. We are here at NAMM 2022 with Dusty Wakeman, president of Mojave Audio. How are you doing today?
Hi, Daniel. Good to see you. I'm glad you made it down.
We're grateful to be here, and thank you for your help getting us down.
It feels really good in here. Everybody's happy and lots of energy. And,
I know.
Yeah, I think everybody's just glad to see each other.
Hey, man, it feels like NAMM again.
Right, right.
Speaking of which, you have a new product for NAMM 2022.
The MA-37. So this microphone is David Royer's modern interpretation of the classic Sony C37A, which not everybody knows that mic, but people that know that mic, it's a beloved secret weapon workhorse.
Right, this is kind of the coveted thing for the cult that knows who it is.
Exactly. And that mic was mainly a West Coast phenomenon. It came from Japan, but in terms of the States, it was mainly a West Coast, like the Wrecking Crew era. A lot of those records, a lot of Sony C37As. So David loves that mic for the headroom, for its ability to handle sibilance. It's really warm. All of our other mics are more like German-based designs. They're all David's interpretation, but they're all based on that school of mic design. Sony did something different, and I like to tell people it's kind of halfway between those and a ribbon mic. It's warm and lush and great at handling sibilance or cymbal shrillness or anything like that. Plus, it'll just take a beating, ton of headroom. You could put it on a snare, toms, kick drum, guitar amps, and people are loving it. So, we're having a blast with this mic.
Well, I know certainly a lot of the records that I can think of from that L.A. Wrecking Crew, Beach Boys era, that was all C37s that I could think of. And certainly I was excited when you told me, when you were on the podcast, you were telling me about this, because this was you had one prototype at an undisclosed location.
Right. Well, we've since launched the mic and gone public, and just having a lot of fun with it. And it's fun for me because it's different than our other mics. Right. Our other mics are desert island mics. You could take any one of them, leave it up every day, and have it be your main mic. This is more of like a connoisseur grade. It's a special color that you break out when you want that specific thing. Kind of like a ribbon mic.
Which David is very, very,
David
very
knows
well.
Think about ribbon mics. Yes, he does.
just a little bit.
Well, he's wanted to make this mic for 10 years, and we just finally got around to doing it. So we're having fun.
Now, when I think of David Royer, I don't think of him as a guy like us doing bass and drums and electric guitars and things. He's very folk music, classical, that sort of thing.
Right. He loves classical music. He loves especially like Eastern European ethnic music, folk music. He used to do dance when he was a teenager. He was in those dance companies, the Eastern European.
Yeah.
And David, in fact, I've learned so much from working with David. His thing is live, a stereo pair, capturing a live performance. That's what turns him on. He's not into that whole, like, okay, let's get the drums, and now let's overdub the bass.
Right, let's put 11 mics on a drum.
Right, he's like, let's capture something with a pair of mics.
So in his, I'm sure he would probably have a thing or two to say, but in your approximation, what do you think his dream would be to put this in front of?
Oh, man. I don't know, choir, an orchestra, a big band, any of those things.
Certainly when
he
was...
You'd have to ask him that. We should ask him, because I don't know.
That would definitely be... Certainly ahead of time, he was talking about how he enjoyed the C-37A on brass.
Right. Oh, yeah, they're wonderful on brass, because they smooth things out. Any harshness, you know, they're great for that.
I know personally I've been excited to hear this thing on trumpet, because it is a naturally darker microphone.
Yeah, it's beautiful on trumpet. Yeah. Strings, violins, anything that you want to kind of, as Ross Hogarth says, detoxify. It's a good mic for that.
Beautiful.
If you go on our website to the About Us tab and look at David, there's a little section, I think it's called On Safari with David, and there's a bunch of his field recordings are on there of various different things from like mariachi trios at Olvera Street to Indian music to Eastern music, a bunch of interesting stuff like that. You can kind of get a feel for what his passion is.
Very cool. Well, Mr. Wakeman, thank you for being on.
Yeah, always a pleasure to see you, Daniel, and have a good show. Got a couple of rooms full of goodies here, so I'm anxious to see what you gravitate to.
Definitely. I'm here with David Royer from Royer Labs Mojave Audio. We're on NAMM Day 3. How's NAMM been for you?
Well, it's been pretty good, thank you. Seems like, well, I've been doing NAMM for more than 20 years, and needless to say, it's slower than I've seen in my life, but considering the circumstances, I'm not going to complain.
Nor am I. This has been a really comfortable NAMM. Now, you have a new product out, the MA-37, which came out just in the last couple of months. And I've been dying to ask you, actually, since I heard about it last year when it was a prototype. What was the impetus for your interest in the MA-37 design, and where did your love of the C-37A come from?
Well, that's very simple to answer, actually. I was in my 20s when I first encountered a C-37, and it struck me as being a very sensibly designed microphone, and it struck me as being a very intriguing thing to borrow ideas from, because, let's face it, with a U-47, VF-14s are damn hard to find, and
right.
And 6AU-6s in the mid-1980s were readily available and cheap. So I found that to be very interesting, and then with the circuit design with the C-37A, with it being a cathode follower, you could dispense with the output transformer if you were basically using a tape recorder like a Revox G36 or an Ampex 602-2, and getting rid of the output transformer would help you cut the cost tremendously. And at that time, you could get the replacement capsules for an AKG C460. You could get the capsules for around $180 each. And my first tube condenser microphones were built using those AKG capsules and a tube circuit using a sub-miniature 5840 tube in a circuit that was that borrowed heavily from the C-37A. And that was back when I was in my 20s. So the C-37A design has very, very deep roots with me. And I had used a similar electronic circuit in the Mojave MA-100, which was a very successful Mojave mic, and I've used a similar circuit in the tube Royer microphones, which also have a pretty enviable reputation. And then And then about 3 years ago, I had four Sony C37As turn up on my bench. And at that point, we decided, hey, why not revisit the C37A? And then one thing led to another, and the result was the MA37.
Gotcha. Now, you were building this in 2021, 2022 time, in the last couple of years, and obviously there's some differences between what's available now and what was available 30, 40, 50 years ago, or even right after World War II when the C-37 was starting to be developed in the 50s. What electronics changes or concerns did you have when you were starting to design a recreation of the C-37 circuit?
Well, first of all, I decided I'd use an EF-86 because they're in current production. And I've used EF-86 tubes for years, and I knew that they were satisfactory for microphone use, and I knew I could adapt the Sony circuit to work with an EF-86. And the building a power supply for a tube condenser microphone is pretty straight across, and I did not bother to reinvent the wheel there particularly drastically. And basically what I did was I had the Chinese factory send me a transformer, a power transformer, and I cobbled something together and tweaked around on it until I was happy with it. And I had the factory build it, and it was pretty cut and dried. And as for an output transformer, I wasn't about to make one from scratch, so I got sample transformers from several different sources. And the transformer that survived the beta testing was a transformer from Lundahl.
Interesting. Externally, the MA-37 power supply is rather different from what you'd ship with an MA-200 or 300. Internally, how much do your power supplies share between the MA-37 and, say, the MA-200?
Well, the short answer to that is that the MA-37 power supply has the output transformer for the microphone in it, because that was the approach that Sony took with the C-37A, and I've done a similar thing in the past with other microphones that I built, where the tube was being used as a cathode follower, and I was running the signal unbalanced to an output transformer in order to save space in the microphone. And beyond that, the power transformer for this MA-37 is a heftier transformer than the one for the other Mojave microphones, because the current draw for the tube is slightly higher. And I figured I'd rather have an overbuilt transformer for the MA-37 than to have one right on its ratings. And then beyond that, the resistors and capacitors are pretty straight across. The power supplies among the various Mojave microphones are not identical, but basically, with the power supply in a tube microphone, you've got a power transformer that gives you a high AC voltage for the plate supply, and then a low AC voltage for the tube heater supply. And then you rectify those AC voltages with diodes, and then you have resistor capacitor networks to smooth out the ripple. And you can use any of a number of different combinations of resistors, capacitors, chokes, and perhaps transistors for voltage or current regulation. And as long as you sit down and do the arithmetic and design a supply that has sufficient filtering, and you don't operate anything outside of its ratings, it's pretty cut and dried.
Gotcha. Now, I've been meaning to ask you this. I talked to Dusty about this a little while ago. I don't think anyone who knows you or your work would mix you up to be a rock fan by any means. We know you to be more interested in classical music and folk music of kinds. So I'm curious, as an amateur recordist yourself, what do you want to put in front of this microphone? I know you said off-mic brass, but what else are you thinking about when you think putting this microphone in front of an instrument or some kind of source?
Well, I could certainly use it on any of a number of things. Well, acoustic guitar, if you have a somewhat bright-sounding guitar, the MA-37 would be helpful to tame that, and it would work beautifully on violins, violas, and cellos, or double basses. I would certainly be comfortable using a pair of them for a string quartet or a piano quintet. And I think they could be used very well on a symphony orchestra. Lord knows, NHK in Japan did some very good recordings of orchestral music and even televised opera with a whole bunch of C-37s, and the MA-37s should be just as good.
Well, Mr. Royer, thank you very much for your time, and I hope you had an excellent NAMM.
You're welcome. Bye now.
We're here with Evanna Manley on the last day of NAMM. How's NAMM been?
NAMM's been rocking this year. I can't believe it. It's just so much activity, and I don't miss those other 100,000 people that aren't here. All the pro audio folks are here, and that's what counts.
But you know, the beautiful thing about our side of this industry is we get to stay in this wing and not have to go to what I called yesterday hell.
I tell you, when we used to be in the basketball arena, the roar from halls A, B, C, D was just so oppressive, and we were screaming all day just for all that noise. It's a lot nicer to be here in the pro audio hall.
I know, very few people are getting NAMM throat this year, at least here.
I've got lozenges for that.
You're smarter than most. Certainly,
man,
you're smarter than me.
These halls, when I've got my mask on, I'm like baking myself up with all the menthol.
I did that a few days ago. It was worth it.
It was.
So we're here in front of a bunch of really cool preamps and other gear of yours. What are we showing here?
Oh, we got a whole bunch of Manley gear here. This is an older unit called the Manley Slam. It's a very fast set of limiters, a FET limiter and an electro-optical limiter. The Manley Core was the first product in 2014 to incorporate our new power supply, the Manley power supply. And then after that, we came up with the Manley Force, which is a four-channel mic pre. Sorry, the Core is like a Voxbox Junior. It's like a combo unit, you know? A mic pre, EQ, compressor, and a very fast FET limiter. The Force is four channels of awesome mic pre, high voltage, high fidelity. This is an older Voxbox here, and you can tell it's an older one with a linear power supply, because it has the rotary power switch knob. All the new Voxboxes have the brand new power supply, and they have the red push button switch. That's how you tell them apart. So speaking of which, here's a Manley Massive Passive here with the new power supply. And oh man, here's a Variable Mu. We've been building these puppies since like 1995, I think. There's a Manley New Mu, which is like a little different take on the Variable Mu. It's a little cleaner. So they're like brothers. Oh, and there's the new version of the Manley L-Op Plus that has a compressor and a limiter in it. It's like an LA-2A type thing. Ah, and you know what? Something real cool I haven't talked about in this show. We came up with, you know, okay, LA-2As, they used to use an incandescent light bulb,
right,
and a panel. that would respond to the light and change its resistance. That's what they did in the old days. And then, I think in the late 60s through the 70s, there was a little device that used an LED and an LDR, light-dependent resistor, to do the same thing, but it was in a really small little package. So we used those for many years with our LOP limiter and the box. But guess what? Those things dried up. Like, you couldn't get them anymore. They stopped making them. So guess what we had to do? We had to roll our own. We had to develop our own optical cells. So we're producing those now. And they're called the Deluxe module. And D is for Delta, like Delta Phi. That's an inside family joke.
Yes, it is. So when you were designing the power supply, I'm going to get very geeky here. What was your criteria for a new power supply when you decided it was time?
Okay, how that came about was at these shows, I became friends with Bruno Putzis, who's one of the most brilliant audio designers on the planet. And he was working at the time for a switch mode power supply company. And he was also designing solid state amplifiers and preamplifiers with these switching power supplies. And he was extolling the virtues of how awesome these things are. So I said, hey Bruno, could you design one of these power supplies for me for vacuum tubes? Like, we need 300 volts and we need a lot of amperage in the heater rail and so on. So can you like scale it all up for vacuum tubes? He's like, yeah, I don't see why not. And so I hired him to develop this awesome power supply for us that we now call Manly Power. So it's been a total revolution in our world. I don't think any other high-end audio vacuum tube companies are doing this kind of technology. It's ours. But man, first thing, it sounds better, okay? Let's get that out of the way. But secondly, it's very flexible. You can travel all over the world and plug it in like you would a USB charger, you know, and not worry about blowing up your linear power supplies. So it's auto sensing on the input. And then secondly, it operates at like 125 kilohertz, something like that. And so it's well out of the audio range. So you have zero 60 hertz hum like you would with a traditional linear power supply. There's no hum in the units ever again. And it's lighter, it's more efficient, and oh my god, I'm so grateful to have Manly Power running all our new stuff these days.
I'm sure there's many benefits to it versus a traditional power supply, as you were just talking about. The one that I'm curious about is, are you putting more power to the rails and giving more headroom? Was that an ability that you were able to grant?
The same, you know, we specified the bigger Manly Power. Well, we have two versions. One has fewer rails on it, but we specified it from the onset to be a 300 volt rail. And it's easier to get rid of voltage than to bring it back. So, you know, 300 volts, if we only need 120 volts somewhere, we can knock that down with other technology. Oh, yeah, actually, there's a 150 volt rail on this power supply as well. As well as 5-volt rail and plus and minus 15, I think. And then plus the 6.3 volts for the heaters. We actually got off the 12-volt heater thing and went to the 6.3 instead. So that's why when people were like, oh, can I take my older box and will you change the power supply? It's like, eh, there's a lot of modifications you have to make in order to make the new power supply work with the old boards and circuits. So number one is like the heater strings have to all be reconfigured. You have to take all the B-rail filtering capacitors out and replace them with smaller cap. You know, there's a lot of changes. It's not just hook it up and it works.
Right. As nice as drop-in solutions are, I mean, realistically, you're getting way more benefit than a drop-in solution, right?
Well, yeah, because when we, you know, incorporated the new power supplies into these older designs, we made a lot of other changes too, you know, layout changes and you know, sometimes buildability improvements, you know, making things easier and faster to build so we could keep the price down because, you know, it's all still made in Chino, California, not China.
And that's, ain't that a beautiful thing?
Well, I think we're what's good for America. I was just talking to my international sales director, JB, and he was going over our Chinese export sales numbers, and oh my God, Manly Labs, we're what's good for America. We export a ton of gear to China, more than we have in the past 30 years combined. Seriously. So thank you, China, for your support. And I'll just say that.
You know, so many people here are getting either assembly or parts from China, and here you are exporting stuff to China.
Oh, we totally export more gear to China than we buy from China. That is a known fact.
I'm here at the Austrian Audio booth, and they have some new products going on. So how you doing today?
I'm fine. My name is Philip. I'm from Austrian Audio. I'm product manager, and I have some exciting new products for you. This is the OC16. It's a large condenser microphone. Basically, people love our ceramic capsule that we also use in the other microphones, the OC18 and the OC818. Still, those microphones, even the simpler version, the OC18, was the only cardioid capsule, retail for $700-$800. We understand for some people that's a lot of money. So we said, why not do this Vienna-made capsule into a more simple microphone? So we have stripped down the mechanic a bit to a more simple design, stripped down the electronic a bit, so you only have the high-pass filter with two settings. You have no pad, which is not so much of an issue because the capsule is already very robust against loud sounds. And give it a simple spider, but still keep the acoustics, still keep this Vienna-made capsule. So this little baby here retails for $399, so really a bargain in regards to the sound quality, and a very nice addition, and a good starting point for people who search for high quality but can't afford the full price of an OC18 or OC818.
Well, this is certainly a wonderful product for a lot of people. I know a lot of my target audience is just starting out and they want to get the best quality and best bang for the buck. So this is certainly a beautiful microphone for all of us around here. And certainly for people like me, maybe 5-6 years ago,
yeah,
as well.
No, absolutely. And I'm always trying to put good stuff in people's hands. Because I say, if people, for example, they buy a very cheap large condenser microphone, and then they listen to it and they say, hey, this doesn't sound much of a difference than my good dynamic mic that I already have, he's never going to come back and buy a real premium product.
Right.
If I put good stuff for affordable, I mean, $400 is still some money, but for an affordable price into their hands, if they at some point require all the other cardioid patterns, I hope they come back to us. Yeah, but there's also more. We should take a look at this.
Certainly.
So this is actually the OD5. The OD5 is an active dynamic microphone for instruments. Why active dynamic? So it requires phantom power, but this also has advantages because we have here the high pass filter. And this filter will sound always the same independent of the input impedance of your mixing console. Because if it's a passive version, it would alter the sound depending on the mixing console or preamp. You don't have that. Also, we have amplified the signal a bit, so you don't run into any problems with long cables, for example. This is why we also have a pad here, so we don't override your input in case that you have a very loud sound source for like drums or something like that. We also have given it this nice little swivel joint here, so that you have the possibility to adjust the microphone to your needs, which is very handy if you have already set up all the stands and then you say, I want to tilt it a little bit to the middle of the drum or more to the rim. That's very easy to do here. The OD5 is the dynamic version of the instrument microphone, retails for $299. And this is the condenser version. The condenser version has a small diaphragm true condenser capsule. Actually, the capsule is the same that we also have on the CC8, that's already out for some time, but we still made the whole grill construction a bit larger, so we have a good suspension here, and it's really robust, so this can take some hits from drumsticks, etc., in case they happen. Also has this nice swivel joint here that rotates, and it also has the high-pass filter and a pad. The pad on the condenser is really reducing the input voltage, the voltage on the capsule, which means that the capsule is less sensitive then. That's a huge advantage because this condenser mic can take up to 160 dB in sound pressure level with the pad. So that's quite something. So
no kidding.
should not run into any problems at any time.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so we recommend this one basically for strings, wind instruments. Trumpet can be quite loud, for example. But you can also use it on toms. Some people like to put it on the drum kit. So very multi-purpose. We also launched a handheld microphone. Not sure if you're aware of our handheld range already, because this was released during the pandemic. So yeah, perfect timing, isn't it?
Okay.
Stage mics in a pandemic. Yeah, nevertheless, that's what it is. We have a condenser microphone, the OC707, our condenser microphone. Very nice sound signature. We have this open acoustic here with this hole in here, simply because it makes it a bit more difficult for the inexperienced user to cover all the back of a microphone, which ruins the cutout pattern and also alters the sound a lot. So it makes it more difficult to cover it all. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible. If someone's really into it, he can do it, but it makes it more difficult. And you have a nice transparent sound with this feature. The OD505 over here is the active dynamic version. So again, active dynamic. Again, with a high pass filter on the microphone, so you don't have to fiddle less with the mixing console if you set it up, and with also the other benefits that you get from the active dynamic. If you want to go for a more simple product, and this is new, we just released this today, that's the OD303, so that's the passive version, so you don't need phantom power, but nevertheless, we have not compromised on the acoustic, it's the same capsule, it has the open acoustic here, and also, and this is very nice, we have designed a custom-made pop filter for our dynamic microphones. So this is really distributing the air. If there comes a loud pop sound, it distributes and will not all go into the capsule, makes it easier to get a good sound performance here. Yeah, these are the new products. When we were here last time at NAMM, we had 2 microphones and 4 headphones. Now we're here with 20 products, so yeah, quite something.
Well, you know, I suppose that's the beauty of having a little bit of an intermission between between NAMM 2020 and now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on all your product releases.
Thank you very much.
I'm here with Matt from Warm Audio, and we're about to talk about new gear. How are you doing today, Matt?
Hey, how's it going? You having a good show?
I'm having a great show. How about yourself?
We're having a great time. We're really, really excited. Glad to be back, and we're psyched to see all the people using our stuff and get some great feedback.
Well, certainly I'm a fan of your gear as well. Now, you have some new products out, and it seems you have some good microphones out this year, so let's talk about that.
We sure do, yeah. I'm super stoked on this mic. This is our WACX-12, modeled after a pretty famous Austrian tube condenser microphone. When we came out with this microphone in our R&D process, we looked at the first original 10 years of production and really wanted to dial in on some of the ones that have been considered, kind of the sweet ones from some engineers and artists that we worked with. We're really excited to say that we are having a hard time getting them back because they sound so great. They're one of my favorite room microphones. Love it on drums, love it a little bit back on guitar cabs. And of course, it's a great vocal mic. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Now, when you were coming up with this idea, what what were your considerations for doing something like this?
Yeah, so there's a few things to consider. We already have a 251 in our lineup, and those mics are sort of cousins, so we wanted to make sure that we capture the essence of what's different about a 12 versus a 251. It's also a 9-pattern microphone, so there's some versatility in the intermediate pattern. So, and really, it's such a sonic legacy to live up to. You know, the 12-style microphone is Mount Rushmore, top four. Some engineers can't live without it. And we really wanted to do it justice by you know, kind of hitting that tone that's known to be, like, really natural, the sound in the room, plus maybe a little pleasant high-end, and we're really psyched with how it sounds.
Gotcha. Now, I was a technician's apprentice for a long time at a repair shop, so I'm always curious to hear about the internals. What kind of modifications have you made, being that this is a modern recreation of a vintage microphone?
Sure. Well, in terms of parts that are available, we're really excited about our AMI output transformer. So that's, you know, coming from Tap Funk and Work. And for those who don't know, essentially the designer of the original transformers designed the transformer that's in this microphone. So we didn't spare anything on that. And we're, you know, every time we make a new mic, when we think about the tubes, we don't just pick one company. We hand select the tube based on the circuit. And we're really excited with the 12AY7 that we have in here. And we're always using premium capacitors from WEMA and, you know, polystyrene capacitors that are, you know, of the highest quality. So, and I can't forget the capsule, you know, the heartbeat of the microphone. It's our same CK12 style capsule that we use. And the 251 and our 14, which is actually, it's accurate, because those microphones actually did use the same capsule back in the day. So what we were trying to do is, while the three microphones, 14, 251, and now our 12, are related, is a good way to say it. This one has its own unique character, and we're really excited that we were able to stay true to how the original sounded.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing.
We can move over now, too.
Fantastic.
So this is our WA-47F. Some warm super fans will know that we have a WA-47 with a tube in it, and then we have a WA-47 Junior that is also a FET. But this is our first 47-style microphone that is... that has a FET and a transformer in it, because our Junior is a transformerless microphone. So what's really cool about this one is that, you know, we started to talk to some studio engineers and folks who are working in engineering all the time, and this is sort of like a secret weapon in the studio for kick drums, certain vocal styles, guitar cabs up close. And because the 10 dB pad on the back, when you engage that, you can handle SPLs up to 147 dB. That's super helpful to get a lot of clarity and detail and to capture the fast transients that you want. So, killer kick drum mic. Again, certain vocal styles really, really come through on this microphone, and I love pairing it with like a dynamic mic on the beater to get that really huge sound. So,
wasn't that the beautiful thing? It's a D12 and a FET47 is the go-to kick sound for a lot of people.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of people using it on that. We've used it ourselves in our own studio, and when we heard that coming through the monitors, we're like, yes, that's the sound we're looking for. And actually, I like to tell this story. In our R&D process on this mic, we had some pre-release versions come out, and you know, we didn't, on our first try, we didn't nail the circuit on the first try, and we got some people come back and say, where are the low mids at, you know, and we went and tweaked it, and we were fortunate enough to work with some awesome engineers who had some nice old 70-71 models that were like, I'm not sending it back, you know, you got it right, so we're excited about this one.
Cool, and then same thing as the last one. What were the component choices for you guys this time around?
Sure. So we went with AMI again on the output transformer, and you know, I should know this. I'm 99.9% sure, but we have Fairchild transistors in this bad boy. Actually, now I am sure. I wrote all that. There's actually seven transistors in this microphone. Excuse me. There's seven FETs in this microphone, and five of them are Fairchild transistors. And it's really, again, when you're going and you're switching through some of these premium components, it's about getting the sound of the microphone,
right.
and you know, really it's about pleasing engineers and artists, because at the end of the day, that's really what matters. What kind of results are you getting? What are you hearing through the speakers? So we're really psyched about AMI. We're really, oh, and our capsule. Man, I keep forgetting the capsule today, guys. So this is our K47 style capsule, very similar to the one we use in the 47 with the tube, but it is a cardioid only microphone, so it's single-sided. But again, for that focus tone, it's killer.
Well, you know, like we were saying, a 47 is one of the secret weapons of audio production everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be a really cool microphone, and I'm excited to check it out in my own studio.
Yeah, man, we're really excited. Both our new mics, nothing quite like it, and we're excited that we're kind of just expanding out, you know, outfitting the recording studio. So, yeah.
Well, beautiful, man. I'm excited to hear these new microphones, and thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a great show.
You too. I'm here with Terry Morton of Morton Microphone Systems, and we're here to talk about the Kick Tone, their release for NAMM. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Appreciate you guys coming out and taking a look.
Well, we're having fun in AM 2022. So, the Kicktone, it is a dual element bass drum microphone with a few different mounting systems. What was the impetus to come up for this product?
Sure, so I'm a drummer and an engineer, right? You put the two together and this is what you get, you know? So the idea behind the microphone was to create a solution with one mic rather than many mics. When people see this, they typically look at it and go, hey, that's just another sub-kick mic, right? But here's the difference. A sub-kick mic will typically sit in front of the head, right? It's an extension mic. It's really used in tandem with multiple microphones. Our mic doesn't do that. It's going to sit in front of the head, or the hole, excuse me. And it has a second transducer that's designed to capture the high frequencies, and then your woofer to capture the sub. So you're really getting more of a full range sound from it. And of course, the big difference is that you're getting high SPL air movement through it. So the mic, as you can see, is designed with ports to have that air flow through. So you're getting a much punchier sound than you would from like a sub-kick or a sub-kick style microphone. That's really the gist of what the microphone is.
Right, really you're not getting just one thing. You're not doing a one-trick pony. You're getting the best of everything that you can think of when it comes to a bass drum microphone.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, it's great on other sources that are high SPL and low frequencies. So a bass or, you know, under say the low keys of a piano or anything like that.
I could certainly see this, as I've said to you before, I can definitely see this as a low rotor on a Leslie speaker covering the bass frequencies of that as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. It can be used in a lot of situations. I think one of the other things about it is the mounting, the multiple mounting options as well. We're piggybacking on an already well-known product called the Kickport.
Right.
Right. So we designed a bracket that would slide on top of it. So we're creating a standless solution. Right. So I'll show you real quickly. So there you go. So you got a really easy mounting situation, right? So in a live situation, this is great because you don't want to spend a ton of time setting up a bunch of mics and having them move around and things like that. So you put this, it always stays there. You're always getting the consistent hit.
Well, in a lot of ways, you could really just pack up your drum in the case with the Kicktone on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see why not. I mean, you know, it's very portable. It's very great, you know, in live situations. So.
Well, in studio situations, too. I know primarily I'm a studio guy these days, and I look at this and I can think, well, you know, how many times have you tripped over cables and stands that you wish weren't there, but you had to have them? And this, you've kind of eliminated the need for a stand or three on a bass drum.
Absolutely. The other thing is you're not blocking your logo, right? Everybody needs to see your band logo or whatever on the head.
On
so
stage, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is pretty low profile. It's black. You know, if you got a black head, it just blends right in. So, you know, we're not focused on that, right? So.
Exactly. Well, it's a very cool product, and I'm excited to see more from Morton Microphone Systems.
All right, man.
Terry Morton, thank you for being on.
Appreciate it. All right, have a great show.
You too. I've had a lot of fun presenting this to you, presenting my trip down to Anaheim for NAMM 2022. This has been a lot of fun to share what we got to see just a couple of short months ago. I'm sorry, technical difficulty has prevented us from releasing this for as long as it has been, but now we are back up and running and we are ready to show our NAMM coverage to the world. So tune in next time for part two of our ready to record NAMM 2022 coverage. For now, this is Daniel the D3 Cohen signing off from Blue Girl Productions worldwide headquarters and studios right here in San Francisco, California. We're ready to record.